why don't you do me a favor? Open up your Bibles to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 7. If you're just joining us, if you're a first-time guest or you've been coming but don't have a Bible, there is a Bible in the pew back in front of you. Grab that Bible. That is our gift for you. You can keep it. Here we love to read God's Word, study God's Word, but most importantly, we love to live out God's Word. So you can turn to page 152 in your Bibles, 152 in your pew back Bible. I have a question before we jump into the passage. My question for you is, have you ever learned a life lesson in the most recent time period or in your life? Right? Have you learned a life lesson? What was that life lesson you learned? There's some life lessons that are practical, right? I'll give you a practical life lesson that I learned. My dad always used to tell me, if you didn't know, I grew up in New York City and you have to take the subway, and he would say, hey, he's a kid. Kid, every time you get on the subway, you always look up, you don't look down. Watch where you're going. Make sure you don't get too far off from the platform because you want to see what's happening or what potentially could be happening. That might not be applicable to you, but that's something that a life lesson. Always look up, never look down. When you shake someone's hand, you look them in the eye. You don't look away. Give them a firm handshake, right? That's a practical lesson. Another one I've learned most recently is, like, you don't put potato peels in the garbage disposal. Didn't know that. It would cost you more than the benefit of actually putting it in. You might as well just put it in the trash. Then there's some other life lessons, right? There are idealistic lessons. Have you ever heard of the phrase carpe diem? It means to seize the day. That's a life lesson, right? Take up every opportunity in front of you. Today's the day you have to live. Do what you can today. Live the day. Then there's some spiritual life lessons. We see them all throughout Scripture. I'll give you an example. You all know it. It's found in Matthew. Jesus said this, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In other words, treat people the way you want to be treated. That's a life lesson. That's a spiritual life lesson. The purpose of every life lesson is to shape you. The purpose of every life lesson is to make you the person that you ought to be. Every spiritual life lesson is meant for you to be the person that God has intended for you to be. Every biblical life lesson that we see in Scripture is meant for you to become the person that God intended and created you to be in Christ Jesus. Now, those life lessons can either come from encouragement, they can come from a warning, or they might come through negative or positive experiences. The Bible is full of life lessons. And one of the most important life lessons that I've learned in my life, actually, I've said it many times here before, the most recent one in the last 3-4 years, life lesson that I want us to learn today is that God is faithful, you can trust him. In fact, I think that's one of the greatest life lessons you'll ever learn in your life. In fact, it's a theme that you see all throughout Scripture, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, God is faithful and you can trust him. Now, what do we mean by the faithfulness of God, or that God is faithful? I'll give you a definition of God's faithfulness. This is it. God always does what he says he will do. Meaning everything that you see in the Bible, anything you read in the Bible concerning God, any promise that God has made, any covenant that God has established with his people, he will do it. God has taken on the responsibility to do the things that he said he will do for you, for this world, for his kingdom, for his glory. Now, I don't know when I first heard that, but God is faithful, you can trust him. I stole that from someone, so don't quote me as the person who authored that. But it's a mantra that I often have to say, meaning a mantra that something I say all the time to remind me that God is faithful and I can trust him. Why? Why do you think I tell myself, I have to remind myself that God is faithful? Because people are gonna fail you. Institutions, the intellects of the world, science, technology, government, the church will fail you. I will fail you. Why? Because we're sinful and we live in a sinful world. But you know what remains true? God is faithful. He will never let you down. You may feel like at times God has disappointed you, and that's okay. But in reality, God never disappoints us. The word says he can't. His character, his nature doesn't allow him. When we read Deuteronomy chapter 7, this is the context behind the passage. The purpose of Deuteronomy is to remind the Israelites of God's faithfulness, his covenant, his law, and their responsibility to God and the law. So Deuteronomy is often overlooked because most of it is repeated. In fact, the word Deuteronomy means repetition of the law. And if you read Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, and when you get to Deuteronomy, you say to yourself, I've heard all this before. It's because it's repeated. And you have to ask yourself the question, why does God repeat the law? Why does God repeat all the life lessons that the Israelites have learned before and put them in the book of Deuteronomy? Here's why. A new generation has arisen from the people. Think about this. A new group of people are about to enter the promised land, and this group of people have not witnessed God do miracles in Egypt. They did not experience God opening up the Red Sea. They didn't see the waters come up and they walk on dry land. They only know of the story because, remember, the Israelites failed to obey God's covenant and he promised to cut them off, hence why they wandered in the wilderness. And Deuteronomy is a reminder for the children of Israel to remember. Remember what? God's faithfulness, God's promises, God's covenants, God's law, and their responsibility to obey him. So we read a couple of verses of the author, God reminding his children, the new generation, to remember. And you'll see this all throughout the Old Testament, to remember what? The past. So we read Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 on page 152 in the Pewback Bible in front of you. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Verse 7, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loves you and is keeping oath that he swore to your fathers that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Verse 9. Know, therefore. So now he's commanding them to remember, to understand, to believe, not to forget that the Lord your God is God. The faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. This morning, I want us to look at three ways God has been faithful to you. Three ways we've seen God's faithfulness in our life. The first one is in verse 7 and 8, God has been faithful in choosing his people. He said Israel was holy in their standing before God before they were holy in their conduct. They were set apart to be God by his chosen people and were called to live as his chosen people, to be a beacon of hope to the rest of the world. God made a promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Check this out. Five times God tells Abraham in Genesis 12, five times, I will give you land. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. God has taken on the responsibility to bless his people, make a people out of Abraham. Now, the reason why this is important for us to remember is that God chooses us. God calls us out of darkness. John 15 says, right, that it was he who demonstrated his faithfulness and love by calling us to be his people. Now, why would God, right? Why would that demonstrate God's faithfulness to us? I think it demonstrates God's faithfulness to us in helping us to believe and to remember that it is not our merits. It is not our good works. It is nothing in us that God saves us. It has everything to do with the fact that God loves you. And that should be a beautiful and a freeing statement, because you don't have to earn God's love. You don't have to get God's attention and say, hey, look at me. You don't have to be attractive. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to offer God anything. God chooses his people. God chooses you because he loves you. Because he cares for you. God chose Israel as a treasured possession, not because of their merits or numbers. He chose them because he loved them first. So what should be our rightful response to a God who calls us out of darkness? What should be our response to a God who says, I love you, I called you, I pick you? Our response should be love. Our response should be affection. Our response should be obedience. Our response to a loving God is to say, God, I'm willing to do whatever you tell me to do. I'm willing to live the way you want me to live. I'm willing to say what you want me to say. I'm gonna go where you want me to go. I'm gonna be the kind of person you want me to be. Why? Because you have been faithful to me, even when I'm not faithful to you. I'm gonna do my very best to follow you and pursue you. Because you have done more for me than I could ever do for myself. I couldn't save myself. Israel couldn't save themselves. And if you look at the story of Israel, they couldn't do anything for themselves apart from what? God. Apart from God's intervention. When Israel had to face problems, when they faced difficulties from their enemies, who helped them? God did. God demonstrated his faithfulness, his loyalty to his people. The chapel here celebrates 90 years, not because the chapel is great. Look at me. We don't celebrate 90 years because the chapel has been awesome for 90 years. We celebrate 90 years here at the chapel because God has been faithful to the people of the chapel and to Northeast Ohio. We celebrate 90 years, not to say, look how awesome we've done. Look at the millions of dollars we invested in our city. Look at the millions and millions of dollars we sent overseas with our missionaries and churches we plant in Vietnam, Cambodia, all the things that we do in Mexico, all the things that we've done in Mozambique. It's not for us to say, look how great we are. We celebrate 90 years and we talk about the things that we have accomplished to demonstrate to every single one of us that God has been faithful to us. It wasn't by our power, by our might, but God. It's God who did it. So when we talk about the chapel, we ought to talk about the chapel this way. Look how God has been faithful then and now. Bob Schneider, over a year ago, in one of our members' presentation, he outlined for us. Bob Schneider was a former pastor here. He's still here. He's a retired pastor on our board. And he outlined all the churches that were planted and birthed out of the chapel. Now, if you go around town, or anywhere in Northeast Ohio, and you see a church that has the name chapel in it, somehow, some way, we're connected, whether directly or indirectly. And this is what it reminds me of. It doesn't remind me of how great we are. It just reminds me of the power of the gospel and God's effective work in and among his people. It was God who decided that he wanted to plant a church in Akron, Ohio 90 years ago. It was God who called the people to the chapel, to be a people of the chapel, to demonstrate God's great love, not only to Northeast Ohio, but to the rest of the world. It was God, not the pastors, not the senior pastors, not the board, not the special people, not the big donors, not the rich people, but all of us participating in the gospel work, not because of us, but because of God. God chose his people. God chose us for this time, this season, right now, demonstrating what? His faithfulness. Two, at the very end of verse 8, God demonstrates his faithfulness how? In deliverance. Look at it with me. Verse 8. There's a massive gap between God's faithfulness and ours, and yet he demonstrates to his people and to you and me that he is faithful to deliver us from the hardest situation we could ever face. That the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Verse 8 recounts that God has the power to deliver you and to deliver me and to deliver all his people from the hardest hardships they ever experienced. The Israelites in Egypt were hopeless, powerless, and afraid. And God rescued them out of their slavery. You know how God delivered us? Egypt represents for us our slavery to sin, our destiny to death. Egypt was the place before we knew Jesus. Egypt was the place where we lived before knowing and understanding the gospel. And what did Christ do on the cross? Christ rescued us, delivered us out of our slavery, delivered us out of our destiny of death so that we can have new life in who? Jesus. So when we read this passage, we're not only reading it for the people of Israel, we're reading it for us. God has delivered you from your greatest threat, sin and death. I love what a writer about God's faithfulness says. He says, Christians possess the greatest of all evidences. As we look to our past, the cross of Christ shines with splendor. No dark cloud could ever overshadow it. No pain rivals the joy it provides. No loss supersedes its gain. We possess the great proof of God's faithfulness. Christ does not abandon his people. When doubt enters our mind, let us not take another look. Let's take another look at the cross. God is worthy of our trust. We need no greater proof than the cross. His past faithfulness provides comfort in the present and hope for the future. Circumstances might change, but he and his faithfulness remain constant forever. Essentially what he's saying, God has demonstrated his faithfulness through the power of the cross, through the gospel. I want to share with you an illustration on how God is faithful in delivering us out of our sin and the way God delivers from sin from the cross. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. All of us have heard the gospel. And many of us in this room have responded to the gospel, right? We said yes to Jesus. We faithfully pursued Jesus, not perfectly, faithfully. I wanna show you this Bible. You were a part of this. This Bible is the first Bible that the people of Moy have received. If you remember, we support the Crockett's, a missionary family that have been doing gospel work in Papua, Indonesia, to an unknown tribe. In fact, they came a couple of weeks ago to show us this Bible because we were a part of writing this Bible. We've been supporting them for decades, and their work in Papua was to a tribe that had been known of but had never received the gospel. No one shared the gospel until the Crockett's went there. They didn't even have a written language. So when the Crockett's arrive at Papua to this small little village, they had to get on a helicopter, fly over, drop down into this forest, and they spend the next 20 to 30 years doing gospel work in Papua, Indonesia. And as of January of this year, think about this, as of January of this year, The people in Papua, the Moi people, they call them the Moi people, finally, in 2024, have a written copy of the New Testament. So, think about this. God has demonstrated his faithfulness through the gospel of Jesus Christ to a small tribe village in Papua, Indonesia, by sending two missionaries in which the chapel will support for over 20 years so that they can hear the gospel responsibly. In fact, they had to create a language for the people because they didn't have a written language. And as we sit here this morning, there is a tribe in Papua, Indonesia, among the Moi people, who now have the gospel in written form. Tell me God is not faithful, even in 2024. That he would even in his love and grace still care to deliver unbelievers from their sin by providing access to the gospel. God is faithful and you can trust him even in 2024. So why do we struggle with God's faithfulness? Like, if you ask me, Tim, do you have trust issues? Yes, right? If you ask me, Tim, do you trust God? Yes. No, you're a pastor. You work at a church. You really trust God? Yeah, I do, but why is that? Why do we struggle with this idea of trusting God, right? Why do we struggle with this idea of believing that God is faithful to us today? And I think the reason, right, I mentioned it before, it's because, one, people have failed us. People have hurt us. People have done things to us that cause us to distrust them. I know that for a fact in my own life. I can name you the people. I'll write you a list. But I bet you could write your own list. And maybe some of you have me on that list. Sometimes we think God in human terms. But when we think what Deuteronomy says, right? Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God. Notice what he says. He's not like you where you will fail. In fact, the New Testament says, God is faithful when we are faithless. Know that God is God. So what do we do? What do we do with the uncertainty, with the temptation of doubting that God is faithful? I'm gonna give you two things to do. One, remember how God has been faithful to you in the past. Remember how God has been faithful to you in the past. In fact, the instruction to the people of Israel, the children of Israel, who are about to go into the promised land, is to remember what God has done in the past. Remember that situation that God saved you from? Remember that problem that you were in and that God rescued you out of? Remember the mess that you put yourself in? That you were drowning? You were hopeless and God took care of that. Remember when God answered that prayer? Not because you were good, but because he was good. Remember the time that God saved you? Author Deuteronomy says, remember the past. Remember all the ways that God has been faithful. David even says in Psalms 133, I remember the days, and he says this during a time when all his enemies were going to attack him, when he felt the crushing weight of having to fight, and he says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the works of your hands. One of my favorite sayings of David, I've said it before, right? He says this in the Psalms. He says, I was once young, and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Who is he talking about? He's talking about God. What about God? God's faithfulness. All right, so when we struggle with God's faithfulness, we remember the past. Two, we wait patiently to see God's faithfulness. How many of you in this room struggle with patience? Raise your hand, right? If I see a long line in the drive-thru, I'm not going because I'm not waiting, right? If the waitress or the waiter's taking too long with a check, I don't do that, but you know, I want to. See me, I'm ready to go. In fact, one of my life verses is Psalm 27, verse 14. It says, wait patiently for the Lord. Don't let your heart be discouraged. Wait patiently for the Lord. Because I struggle with patience, because I want God to do it right now. God, fix me right now. Change this person right now. Handle this situation right now. Do this thing for our church right now. Oftentimes we have to wait. Why? Because our timing is not God's timing, right? I'll give you an example, Abraham. In Genesis, God tells Abraham, hey, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. Now, if you think about it, it would have been, in Abraham's eyes, in our eyes, probably been better when Sarah was a lot younger. But what did Abraham have to do? He had to wait for the promise. Why? Because it was God's timing. I don't know what situation you find yourself in this morning. I don't know what problem you face, what dilemma you have, or what unanswered prayer you have experienced over the decades. The word of the Lord says, wait. Wait patiently. God has not failed you before. He's not going to fail you now. So one of the greatest lessons you'll ever learn is that God is faithful and you can trust him. Because Numbers 23 and Psalm 89 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? His plan is perfect and he orchestrates everything for our good and his glory. So our rightful response when we're anxious and worried about the future, or even right now, when we're worried whether or not God's gonna be faithful, we wait patiently. So the question we have left to answer is, how is God going to be faithful to you today or tomorrow? How is God going to be faithful to the people of Chapel right now? Let me read it for you. It's in Revelation 21. This is how God is going to remain faithful. This is a promise that God makes to the chapel, the people of the chapel, the people who are called by his name, who pursue him, who follow him. This is the promise that God makes to every single person that placed their trust in God. Revelation chapter 21, the most beautiful passage to end the scriptures. This is what he says. You can listen to it. Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them and they will be his people. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And God himself will be with them as their God. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And this is beautiful. An encouragement for all of us who are waiting on the faithfulness of God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also, he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. You can trust God. You can believe him. From Genesis to Revelation, he has accomplished every promise. And he said to me, verse 6, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this inheritance, and I will be his God, Deuteronomy chapter 7, and he will be my son. That is the faithfulness of God. Not only then, but now. Would you pray with me? Why don't you take a moment? I want you to think of a time that God has been faithful to you in the past. And I want you to say, God, thank you that I saw your faithfulness then. And then I want you to think of something that you need God to be faithful in. Maybe it's a problem, a situation, a hurt. Maybe it's the wayward kid. Maybe it's the relationship. Maybe it's your heart, your mind. Maybe it's a sin issue, your coworker, your boss, whatever it is. Ask God, God, I'm waiting for you to be faithful in this situation. I know you will, but would you help me in this moment? Because I desperately need it. The world around me is crumbling. I'm overwhelmed by what's happening in our world. God, I look forward to the day where revelation is not something we just read, but that we experience.
This has been a message from the Chapel in Akron, Ohio. Thanks for joining us today. Our Sunday morning services are at 9 and 10:40 a.m. You can join us online for our services by going to akronlive.thechapel.life. For more information about the Chapel, please visit our website at thechapel.life.